Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a couple of quick words. If you bought a poinsettia and haven't taken it home yet, feel free to do so. We are going to make an effort to start our services on time. We are going to minimize our announcements. So make sure you read them. If it's written and printed in the bulletin, on the webpage, we figure it's been put out there since most of the time when Butch has previously been doing announcements, we found that there was nobody in the sanctuary. Or people were coming and going and not really listening. So we are just going to move beyond that and jump right into worship right away. And I'd like to encourage you to be on time for worship so that you can participate in the entirety of it. And then again, because it's not printed in the bulletin, is that we will be having nominations committee meeting at Rachel and George's house tomorrow at 7 p.m. If you're on the nominations committee, please be there. If you have a request that you'd like to make to the nominations committee, today's the time to do so. Also, in the foyer, down on the snack table, there is a stack of forms for you to fill out to update our directory. Fill one out, please. Whether you have been in the directory for 35 years or have never been in the directory, fill it out so that we have the correct information for everybody and updated. We want to make sure that we have everybody's birthdays, addresses, phone numbers. If you have email, please include that. And whether you'd like to be on the prayer chain and whether you'd like to do that by phone or by email. So all that's there. So with that, we're going to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with the 12th verse. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible to me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, seeking your leading and your guidance in all that we do. Specifically, Lord, we ask now that you would send your Holy Spirit to lead us through these scriptures, to lead us through this month of stewardship. Lord, show us how we can be the best stewards of that which you've put into our care. Lord, help us to recognize the aspects of our stewardship, those facets of it. And each part, and deal with each one appropriately. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would illuminate these scriptures for us, that you would speak to us now. Confront each one of us as individuals and as a body. Show us, Lord, what you would have us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're on our second week of our traditional January stewardship series. And this is four facets of stewardship. Now, while I've entitled it four facets, that doesn't mean that there are only four facets. Think of it as a diamond. A cut diamond has many more than four facets, but we're only going to look at four of the facets of stewardship over the course of the next 3 weeks. We've already done one last week, today, and then the next following 2 weeks we'll do three more. Last week we looked at stewardship of the body corporate. We as a group, our responsibilities. Today, we're going to look at stewardship of the body, the individual, and that of ourselves. How many of you read the Daily Bread? A couple? How many of you read yesterday's? Since not everybody raised their hands, I'm going to read it again. For one morsel of food, Esau sold his birthright. That's from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. It says, a story is told of a man who loved old books. He met an acquaintance who had just thrown away a Bible that had been stored in the attic of his ancestral home for generations. I couldn't read it, the friend explained. Somebody named Guten something had printed it. Not Gutenberg, the book lover exclaimed in horror. That Bible was one of the first books ever printed. A copy just sold for over $2 million. His friend was unimpressed. Might wouldn't have bought a dollar. Some fellow named Martin Luther had scribbled all over it in German. Now, this fictitious story shows how a person can treat as worthless that which is valuable. That's what Esau did. Though he was a nice enough fellow, Esau was a profane man, because he sold his spiritual birthright for one morsel of food. Only when it is too late for to undo his wretched bargain did he realize that he had sacrificed the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We had better be careful of the bargains we make in life. Our culture places a high price on what is worthless and throws away as worthless that which is of eternal value. Ask the Lord to help you to discern what's worth keeping and what is best discarding. And then
Plan B. Little choices we make will chart the course of life we take. We either choose the path of light or wander off in the darkest night. Why pay the high price for the world's bargains when eternal life is free? That page yesterday from the Daily Bread fit exactly with what I was looking at today. We're going to look at the first couple of verses of the section I read, and then the last verse, and then kind of take the stuff that's in the middle in that context.
Let me read the first, verse 12. It says, everything is permissible for the body, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And then the last two verses. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. That is such the key of personal stewardship. We have freedom in Christ. We have been forgiven of each and every sin we have committed or we will commit. Now that doesn't give us free rein to go out and sin. While it's permissible, it's not beneficial. It doesn't help us. It hurts. It causes us harm. You see, our bodies are not our own. We just have them on loan, if you would. Christ bought us with His work on the cross. When He died and shed His blood, He purchased us. When we believed on that action, when we received Him as our Lord and Savior, when we do that, we are no longer our own. Now, prior to that, we weren't our own either. We were actually slaves to sin. We have this illusion that we are somehow independent and of ourselves, and that's just not so. We see, we are either a slave to sin, or we are a slave to Christ. We are one or the other. Now, to be a slave in Christ is to be free, because He does indeed free us from the bonds of sin. Therefore, we can say everything is permissible. But it's not beneficial. It's not what's good for us. It's not what's best for us. It's not that which is going to benefit us. It is permissible for me to go out and get drunk. Okay, I am over the age of 21. And the law says that I can do that. Now, is it beneficial? No, I've been drunk. There was times when I had a misspent youth. And it wasn't beneficial. As a matter of fact, the next day I felt really bad. And I seemed to need to learn that lesson several times. But while it was beneficial, it didn't help. Or while it was permissible, it was not beneficial. And this is what the Lord is trying to show us here. What Paul is teaching us is that we have this freedom in Christ, but I will not. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. It's when we allow our appetites to become our masters and direct us that we become so much in trouble. He uses the illustration of sexual immorality to speak to this issue of hungers of the flesh, of feeding ourselves, of being controlled by those appetites. When in the time of Jesus, there were temple prostitutes, and people would stop and worship by having sex with these men and women. Now, That was the common practice of the day. It was thought to be a nothing thing. But Paul shows us that sex isn't a nothing thing, but that it is much more. It is, in fact, also, there's spiritual aspects to it. Because we have become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides within us. We're meant to be temples. And if we don't treat that temple properly, we defile it. And when we have sexual relations outside of the marriage bed, we are defiling God's temple. And that has spiritual connotation to it and spiritual repercussions. Because it is much more than a physical act. It's not just healthy exercises people of today would contend, and people of even the time of Jesus, you say, it normal thing, everybody does it. It is normal. In its proper place, it is beneficial. But outside of that proper context, it's harmful to us. And that appetite can come to be controlling and directing our lives, leading us, instead of towards God, away from Him. We need to remember whose we are. If Ryan wants to use my car, he has to ask. If he takes my car without asking, I am very angry. If he goes someplace or does something even within my car, which I didn't want to occur within my car or my home, I am angered again. When we do things that are contrary to God's will with our bodies, which are not our own, we are abusing God's property. See, that's the key to stewardship, is recognizing that we don't own ourselves. We never did. That was an illusion. That was a falsehood. See, first we were owned by sin. Now we are owned by God. And God gives us freedom in Christ, because He has forgiven us of all our sins. But again, to sin after that just does us harm. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Just to go back to Esau for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 25, Genesis is farther back than that. We have the story of Esau and Jacob. And Jacob purchasing from Esau the elder brother's birthright. Because Esau allowed that hunger overcome. Let me read. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. We do that with our birthright as Christians when we sell ourselves to our fleshly hungers, whether it be food, whether it be television, whether it be sexual immorality, whether it be the computer, whether it be... I am one of these people who gets compulsive about doing things. It is an easy thing to fall into. And it's something we need to guard against in our lives so that we don't sell our birthright as Christians. Those blessings which God has for us here on this earth, we give them away for an immediate gratification instead of focusing on the blessing, the long-term blessing that the Lord has for us. We despise our Christian birthright. As good stewards, we need to nurture that birthright. We need to seek to use and receive as much of it as possible to the glory of God as much as possible, as much as we are each capable. In Genesis 34, reads, "When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah." See, once Esau started down the road of despising his birthright, he went farther down that road. And he ended up marrying women who were not followers of Jehovah. Instead, he married two Hittite women who were followers of a false god. And he brought that into his home. This was a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. It was also a source of grief for Esau. And it caused him no end of difficulties. And again, it caused him to lose the blessings that the Lord had for him for the time that he was still walking this earth. Now, I don't know what Esau's ultimate disposition was. But I do know that we as Christians, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I believe that at that point we are indeed forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future. Because that's what Scripture tells us, that we are forgiven of all unrighteousness. But people, there are benefits that are to be had here on this earth and benefits yet to be built up in the kingdom. Eternal benefits that we can have, that the Lord wishes for us to have. I'm not preaching wealth and prosperity here, that if you believe in Christ, that you will never have any difficulties, that you will get rich, that you'll be able to have the most expensive car or the best house or the best job. Those aren't the only blessings there are. Remember not to measure blessings by the yardstick or the measurement of the world. Instead, measure our blessings by God's measurement, that which is of eternal value, that which glorifies His name in the kingdom, that which brings our relationship with Him closer. Those are real blessings. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. Use it for His glory, and God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your blessings. We thank You that You have purchased us. You have sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And that it's Your desire that we would use our bodies in ways that bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, You have come and live within us. Spiritually, Lord, You reside within us. Father, we ask that You would help us to flee from immorality. Help us to flee from those things that are not beneficial for us. And Lord, might we cleave to, might we hold on tight, might we seek those things which increase our relationship with You, which bring glory to Your name, which set us apart as Yours and make us holy. Father, I ask that You would show each person here that thing or things in their own life which is stealing away their Christian birthright, which is stealing away that blessing You have for them, which is stealing away Your honor. Lord, show that to each of us. And then, Lord, give us the strength to overcome. Give us the strength to walk close to You. Show us how, Lord. Empower us to do it, for we cannot do it in and of our own selves. So, Lord, we come to You seeking Your strength, Your encouragement, that we indeed might be holy temples that bring honor and glory for You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.